Here we go again, primed to dissect yet another election and try to find the patterns. The headlines are easy. Both our states reelected governors to fourth terms, Democratic governors at that. Both states kept Democrats in control of the houses of the state legislature, while the U.S. Senate flipped the Republican control. So now you've got Democratic president and two Republican houses of Congress in Washington. Marijuana will be legal in Oregon, but we're still waiting for word on GMO labeling and whether that will end up actually in effect in Oregon, because that's still too close to call. And then, of course, there are all those local races and measures. Therefore, a whole lot to talk about. Super Vents Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. Your chance to vent your spleen politely, please, on what you take away from this election on either side of the state line, from the Soil and Water Conservation District board members on up to the U.S. House and Senate. Let's hear what excites or depresses you. The numbers again, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I'll run through the some of the issues and the races results as we go through the hour, as well as taking your comments. Governor, pretty easy in both states, much easier in California, where Jerry Brown defeated Neil Kashkari for his fourth term as governor. Obviously, a lot of space between his two terms, since he left office the first time in 1983 and returned to office with the election 4 years ago in 2010. So Jerry Brown for a fourth term in California. The news services called the race for Jerry Brown at about 2 minutes after the polls closed. About 8:02 last night is when that call came in. Took a little longer to make the call in the Oregon governor's race. John Kitzhaber's lead over Dennis Richardson is actually quite a bit closer than was projected several weeks ago. Of course, Kitzhaber bruised as the election dawned with the allegations about ethical issues with Sylvia Hayes, his fiance and the de facto first lady of Oregon. The numbers at this moment, John Kitzhaber with 49% of the vote, Dennis Richardson with 45.3% of the vote, which doesn't sound like a great margin. From experience, I think what happens here is that a lot of the last ballots come in from Multnomah County, because it's just such a big county. And it is a very, very liberal county, that the projection is pretty easy to make that as the votes come in from Multnomah County, they will largely go to John Kitzhaber. So considered a safe call. Dennis Richardson, however, did not make a concession speech last night in Portland and chose instead to say, I'm going to wait to see what the numbers do there. So Dennis Richardson still hanging on to see if maybe there's a chance he could be the next governor of Oregon. Otherwise, the general call now is that John Kitzhaber wins his fourth term. In the U.S. Senate race, the only one between our two states, Jeff Merkley went to an easy victory over Monica Webby. Merkley then wins a second term as a U.S. senator from Oregon. Webby obviously had her own issues as the campaign drew closer, similar to what went on with Kitzhaber, not so much about the governing part as about what do you do with your private life. And Monica Webby had some issues with people and relationships that that were talked about quite a bit coming up actually to the primary election in May. And that became a factor again in the general election. Ballot measures in the two states. Let's see. We'll take a look at Oregon. The big one, of course, is that recreational marijuana passed with Measure 91 in Oregon. So the Oregon Liquor Control Commission will take care of the regulation of the sale of marijuana. You can possess an ounce on your person anywhere in public. This is effective July 1st. Don't go run out right now and do this. July 1st of 2015 is when an ounce of marijuana is legal to possess outside your home, 8 ounces inside your home. And again, the OLCC will be in charge of this. And the other ballot measures in order. Measure 86 would have amended the Oregon Constitution to create a fund for Oregonians pursuing post-secondary education. That failed. Measure 87 allows judges to be hired by the National Guard and public universities, allows school employees to serve in the legislature. That passed. Measure 88, as you heard in the news segment about providing driver's licenses for people who can't prove legal residence in the United States, that failed. So the status quo remains in effect. The Equal Rights Amendment in the Oregon Constitution passed, Measure 89. The effort to create an open top two primary election system a la California with Measure 90 failed. Failed handily. Let me get a look at the numbers on those while we're sitting here talking about this. Measure 90 was not even close. It was a 2-to-1 margin, 67.8% no, 32.2% yes. So that's one of the issues we can focus in on. What was the issue that you had with the top two primaries? Since obviously most of the people I'm talking to voted against it, since most of the people in Oregon voted against it. What didn't you like about it as it was presented to Oregon? If you're in California and you've been living with the top two primary, What do you think about the way it has worked so far? Numbers here on this Super Events Day to talk about the election results, 800-838-3760. 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Mentioned already that Measure 91 passed, that legalizes recreational marijuana in Oregon, so that adds Oregon to the list of states, which now include Washington and Colorado, and I understand the District of Columbia as well went ahead and legalized marijuana for personal use. And then the big holdout right now is Measure 92, labeling of food products for whether or not they contain GMO in the state of Oregon. It appears to be failing, but again, if in fact most of the lagging ballots are in the Portland metro area, a lot more yes votes could come in, and the margin right now is about 26,000 votes separating the no's from the yeses, with the no's on top. So changes could certainly come with some of the results we're seeing here. And let me run through the California measures as well. The propositions on the California ballot, nothing like marijuana or top two primary, nothing quite so sexy for the California voters. And the water bond, Proposition 1, which had been talked about for several years and had been adjusted a couple of times, this time a $7.12 billion bond for California's water system passed. Proposition 2, which increases the amount of potential savings in the state rainy day fund from 5% to 10%, that passed. Two measures involving medical practice and medical insurance. 45 is a public notice required for insurance company rates initiative that failed. Proposition 46, increasing the cap on damages that can be assessed in medical negligence lawsuits to over $1 million, that failed. California voters did, however, pass Proposition 47, which reduces the classification of most nonviolent crimes from a felony to a misdemeanor. So this involves simple drug possession and any sort of property crime in value, as in theft or burglary, below $950. That passed. So felonies reclassified as misdemeanors across California with the passage of Proposition 47. Proposition 48 was about tribal casinos off reservation land. That failed. So let's hear your thoughts. What was the thing that really stuck out at you on this ballot, either in your state, in your county, in your city, in your soil and water conservation district, whatever the case may be, or nationally? What are the takeaways you have from this election? This is Super Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, a post-election Vents Day. Everything on the table for discussion. Vent politely at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. Pam and Dexter, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Well, I'm hoping that the GMO labeling might still squeak through, but I thought it was really interesting to look at the amount of money spent. When we had it on the ballot about 12 years ago, I think the line was they spent $3 million against it, and the line was your grocery bill is going to go up $200 a week. And now they spent $20 million compared to $8 million for it, $20 million against it, Monsanto and Kraft Foods, General Mills, PepsiCo. And I think they said your grocery bill is going to go up like $200 a year. So I think we're making headway in educating people, but the amount of money spent, I think, really shows a lot. And I was reading an article, and there was a quote from Sheila Krumholtz, who's the director of the Center for Responsive Politics. And they said, and in it, she said 38% of the ads bought by outside interest groups were dark money organizations that did not disclose their donors to the voters. And 48.6% of the ads were bought by conservative groups, whereas 23% were pro-democratic ads. And also, much of this advertisement isn't even, you don't even know who gave the money until after the election. So, you know, we're fighting the uphill battle of money and politics, but we should at least demand transparency and getting all the donors' names on before the election. So at least you can follow the money and see who's backing these politicians and ballot measures.
Instead of essentially a black box putting money into the campaign and you really don't know who resides within that black box.
Yeah, you know, and the whole truth in advertisement. So there's these ads coming out, and, you know, most people do not have the time to do the research and to really read up. And they look at the ads and think, oh, well, I think I'll vote this way. Or, you know, they talk to other friends who aren't as well-versed because most people are too busy to do this. So, you know, it's an uphill battle. This whole money in politics, unlimited money, is really hurting our democracy.
Pam, I'm curious because we obviously live in different districts. You're in Dexter. I live in Talent, and I do live in the in Senate District 3 in Oregon. So I got a whole bunch of mail on the Bates-Dotterer campaign, which Alan Bates appears to have won with about 52% of the vote. But I had mailings every day. When I would see TV commercials, they were always political commercials. I just wonder how much stuff seemed to come your way through the course of this election.
You know, on television, there's a huge amount of ads. I think because we changed to a P.O. box recently, we didn't get as many in the mail. But I don't even I'm pretty much a critical thinker. I mean, I look at everything and how they're trying to slam. But I, you know, I'm just like I said, most people don't have the time to really think a thing through because, you know, if you got kids and a full-time job and you just don't have time to look at it thoroughly. So for me, I can see right through it because I've done the research. But I'm thinking for the people who really don't have the time, it's not that they're not intelligent enough. They just don't have the time. They just read one or two lines, like the GMO, you know, your grocery bill's going to go up. Well, gee, I can't vote for anything. I could barely afford food now, you know. I know that's what a lot of people thought.
Hmm.
You know, it's going to be more expensive. So even though they said it would be pennies a year more expensive, in reality, they read the ads or they see, you know. I mean, there's one ad for the GMO on television that made it sound like they're going to need separate facilities to process the food. I mean, it sounded really expensive, which it's totally a lie, you know?
All right. Thanks for the perspective, Pam. Always good to talk to you. This is Super Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Super because we're filling up most of the hour talking about the results of yesterday's election. Garrison Keillor will be heard, but close to the end of the hour. We want to hear from you right now. What do you think about what happened in this election? What is the thing that really is the standout event for you? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email here from Mike, no town given. He says, I'm so proud Oregonians voted against ignorance in legalizing recreational marijuana. The scary thing is Florida couldn't even pass medical marijuana for the sick. I couldn't see a greater sign of how divided the regions of this country are, and a scary prospect for the future. As the rest of the country turns slightly more red again, the West Coast holds Democratic majorities again and probably forever. The prospect of regional separation is seemingly inevitable, although maybe not anytime soon. That from Mike. Do you take that sort of view of thing? I mean, are we that different across the country? And for that matter, does the country appear to be more conservative overall? Outside of elections, do you honestly think the country is more conservative? Or is this just the results of this particular election? We have some interesting tidbits to throw in here, but you can throw in as well. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, no, it's always everywhere. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Want to talk about money and ads because, you know, you have to wonder if there's a certain level of cynicism. And I don't know that anybody who is a political operative would admit as much. But you have to wonder if the constant drumbeat of advertisements. And I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's not just something referred to in letters to the editor. Boy, I'm sick of all the ads on TV and the stuff in my mailbox. It's not just in the editorials remarking on this. It's not just in the editorial cartoons. You go to the funny pages, and there are references there as well to the huge volume of attack ads that appear on TV in any election season in an even-numbered year. This, of course, mid-year election, midterm election, so it is between the presidential elections. It's the middle of President Obama's second term. And the pattern that has developed, obviously, since Obama first was elected in 2008 is that there's a pretty good Democratic push in the years when Obama is elected. And then in the midterms, the Republicans are quite resurgent. And the demographic numbers are really wild to look at. Let me dig these up. I was just looking at some stuff a little while ago. I got to pull them up on a different thing here. So let's see. The reference on Talking Points memo is to this was a that the results of this election were baked into the cake of the fortunate Senate landscape for the Republicans, it points out. But the exit polls are where things really end up interesting, because the first thing that jumps out at you is Talking Points memo reports is a big shift in age demographics. Under 30 voters dropped from 19% of the electorate in 2012 to 13% in 2014. while the over 65 voters climbed from 16% in 2012 to 22% in 2014. That's very close to the age demographics of 2010. And so, again, what you have here is you've got these on-year elections, the beginning of a presidential term elections, when people are really motivated to go out and vote, as they were when Obama ran in 2008 and 2012. 2010, 2014 seems to be a lot of people not really interested enough in voting for people other than for the office of president, therefore not motivated to vote. So young people staying away, old people, the I want my country back crowd in a lot of the old people coming to the polling places. What motivated you to vote or not? And there's no reproach here if you didn't happen to vote. Let's hear what you thought about or why you decided not to cast a ballot this time around. It's Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange, Election Edition. Join us at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hello. Hi. I have 2 points to make. The first one was a follow-up on something Pam from Dexter said about seeing the lies in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about rising costs and how much it's going to cost taxpayers to enforce these things or how much their food bills are going to go up, we have to remember that that doesn't really happen based on a vote. That happens based on the actual marketplace. And organic and non-GMO foods are actually becoming a more preferred product. And that's what these companies are the most afraid of, is that it's going to cut in and compete with them. And that will happen regardless of how we vote. And it is happening. So I say we keep talking about these things, keep learning and educating each other. It's to get up to speed on it, and I'm still learning. So the issue is still relevant. The other thing is I noticed that this might be a strategy for future efforts at this issue and maybe others. There were several measures that came onto the ballot that drew out a lot of voters, if only for their specific interests, like the marijuana one,
mm-hmm.
the high cost of education for students, the illegal people that wanted their driver's licenses, and the women and equal rights. That's a lot of different people to reach and uniformly integrate. So it's kind of like combining what's your high standard here? What do you really want to vote for? The kind of change that upholds our lives and keeps us healthy, then let's have that be our primary directive. And from there, that helps direct how we vote on all these issues. So I think education and noticing that when we have a lot of measures that pull out a lot of people, even if they're only voting for one of those measures, that there are numbers in the voters that we can actually leverage into all the issues that need to have those votes.
Good point. It is about energizing the voters who might not otherwise come out to vote, or at least to cast the ballot in the case of the folks who vote by mail. Julie, thanks for that. Case in point, you know, Karl Rove was great at this, trying to get and succeeding in getting George Bush reelected in 2004. You notice how many states had ballot measures that were about banning gay marriage. Well, that certainly energized Republican and conservative, social conservative voters. 4 million Christians who didn't normally vote voted in the 2004 election, and that was the margin of difference in the election. So yes, it is about bringing people out to the polls. Given the mixed bag in Oregon, though, I have to believe that, for example, having legalized marijuana on the ballot would certainly bring out liberal voters, but banning driver's licenses for illegal immigrants would bring out conservative voters. So it might have been a wash on that. But you're right that people will put things on the ballot to try to energize voters to get the other things they're looking for passed as well. I mean, there's a great suspicion that perhaps Jackson County would not have passed the library district in the May primary if it hadn't also been sharing the ballot with the ban on GMO crops, which passed, and therefore the libraries passed. Not necessarily linked, but there's a lot of suspicion that that might have happened. Dennis and Eugene, welcome to Super Vince Day, talking about election 2014.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, let's see, you had a question about voting. Did I vote? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I vote? Because I'm an American and I'm a patriot, and I offered to give my life to this country at one time, and so that's what I get to do. I get to vote.
Are there times, though, when it feels like a bit more of a slog, that it's like, okay, I don't really have a lot of passion for any of these people?
Well,
these issues.
Maybe I don't ever have a lot of passion. I mean, but I try to be pretty, up to date on things and try to be a critical thinker, like Pam says, you know. And I will say that I was really not surprised about how things turned out in the election. I thought that that the national thing was just about what was going to happen, because it always happens that way after a president's been in office for 6 years. Usually he loses the Senate.
Frequently, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, ever since Eisenhower, they said, I guess.
Huh.
Quite a lot. That's quite a ways back, you know.
It is indeed.
Anyway, and let's see. Something you said that marijuana and the driver's license thing might be a wash because the people that were for marijuana were about the same number of people that were against the driver's license thing.
Could have been, I suggested.
I don't see that as the two connecting. I think you could be for marijuana and against the driver's license, or you could be the other way around. So I don't.
Well, no doubt. What I'm just suggesting is that the marijuana measure is more likely to energize a liberal voter, and the no driver's licenses for illegal immigrants is more likely to energize a conservative voter. Whether, in fact, that is what happened, I don't sit here with exit poll. Well, obviously you can't do exit polls in Oregon, but I don't sit here with a lot of research in front of me indicating where things went. Just a suspicion that maybe that's what might have happened in this election. We have an email here from Barbara and Ashland regarding the top two primary, which again went down to defeat quite handily. I'm really rather surprised that it was a blowout as it was. It was a 2-1 margin against having Oregon get a top two primary, in which everybody would run in a primary in May. Presumably the primary election would stay in May. And then the top two candidates, regardless of party, would proceed to the general election in November. So you could get, as California can get now under the same system, two Democrats running in November, or two Republicans running in November, or two members of the Pacific Green Party, or whatever is what could happen under a top two system. Won't happen in Oregon because people didn't vote for it. They voted against it in a big way, 2-1 against. And Barbara and Ashland emails regarding the top two. One, it would not be right to have general elections with only one party on the ballot. Independents, third parties, and maybe even a major party would lose their voice during the time when most people pay attention. I hear that a lot. I did hear that a lot from people, that the issue was that, okay, people don't vote in the primary, so it really needs to focus attention on the general election. And Barbara's second point is, if we want to improve our choices and include more ideas, we should consider ranked choice voting. Instant runoff voting, I've heard that called. Barbara, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Other thoughts coming in now. Here's Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Well, thanks for having this, Jeffrey. I appreciate it very much. I'm as happy and proud of our local and our West Coast voters as I am discouraged and alarmed, even a bit afraid of the danger of our national voters. There was utter obstruction in Congress. Every single bill, the 241 filibusters that they pulled off, and then unrelenting ridicule. Everything that happened was like just constant mantra of negativity, was then rewarded. That was a bunch of shallow slogans that weren't unpacked, and it got rewarded. So nationally, I would have to say Republicans are good at what they do, but what they end up doing isn't good for us. You know, unfunded wars that are illegal, immoral, mm-hmm. that we're still paying for, and probably get us into a new one.
Your point about the difference between the West Coast, our two states certainly, and the rest of the country is well taken. In fact, one of these days I really want to ask John Kitzhaber how he does it. He tends to get elected in some of the most dire circumstances. He got elected in 1994 at the very time that the Republican Gingrich revolution was taking over Congress. He got elected 4 years ago when Obama seemed to be getting wiped out in his first midterm. He got reelected when Obama took a second wipeout in his second midterm. So it's an amazing knack that John Kitzhaber has of winning elections in Oregon for governor when the country's going the other way completely.
Well, on top of the botched sign up for the health care thing, and on his personal thing with his lady there, there's a bunch of things that tripped him up, and I'm surprised that he did as well as he did. And I'm glad. I like John Kitzhaber. I think he's a smart man. I think he's presidential, actually. So is Jeff Merkley, I think. And I'm so proud of those guys. But the Republicans so much didn't win as Democrats lost. They didn't answer or unpack any of those shallow slogans that were used. I watched the C-SPAN thing a lot. And it was same slogans, same kind of criticism, and then promise. Criticism and promise, but no specifics. And Democrats didn't unpack that stuff, and they didn't stand up for themselves. They equivocated. They tried to distance themselves from Obama. Obama's been fairly successful. I don't like everything he's done, but I don't like anything anybody does, totally.
Right.
But they kind of took on the mantle of losers. So,
well, ran away from Obama, ran away from Obamacare, certainly. And in fact, Alison Lundergan Grimes, who lost to Mitch McConnell in Kentucky, was one of the most outspoken people about her difficulties with Obama to try to cozy up to Kentucky voters. Ultimately, didn't work.
Yeah, right. And the lady in Iowa, I was just astonished. I mean, she's very personable.
Joni Ernst.
Why people like her. She's personable. She's a good talker. But the other fellow was smart and caring. I was just astonished that it went her way. And now they're talking about her as a vice president or president or something. They latch on to these people.
Right.
But anyway, nationally, I hope the Democrats would take a look at progressive Oregon and take some lessons for the next round. I mean, I'm so happy that we're here and that our candidates did very well, especially proud of Alan Bates and his campaign, because the gentleman that was against him was just sending out these Rove-inspired negative. They tried to make him look like a creep and a criminal and everything over and over again. It was just horrible, and I'm glad that in Oregon that didn't work.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. One of the things that Brad hints at is the fact that the issues that the Democrats were not able to take advantage of. A lot of exit polls showed that on the issues that people cared about, their priorities tended to line up pretty well with what the Democratic agenda is. And yet the people who won the races were Republicans in so many cases. I mean, we're talking about a Republican governor. Scott Walker was so unpopular in Wisconsin for a time, and yet he got reelected there. Rick Scott got reelected in Florida. Illinois elected a Republican governor for the first time in quite some time. Haven't heard from Connecticut yet, but I think Connecticut might have gone to a Republican governor. He was leading when I went to bed last night. So lots of places that don't usually elect Republicans did so in this election, even though, again, a lot of the values lined up with the Democratic Party. They just weren't able to take advantage of those alignments. Let's go to Chris in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vents Day.
Hi. I was just calling. I wanted to say that I vote mainly because I have a right to vote, and I feel that if I don't go out there and cast my ballot, then essentially I'm giving up the one fraction of a percent voice I have in this otherwise money-controlled country. And I guess that was the second point I wanted to get to. One of the propositions here in California, I was a little surprised that didn't pass, was one of the medical propositions. I can't remember the number, but basically it was the one about the public disclosure for insurance companies wanting to raise their rates. I thought that
Prop
would be
45,
kind of a,
yeah.
You know, even for people that didn't do any research and just walked in and read the propositions on the ballot and cast their vote. I thought that one, you know, looked pretty appealing to the common person, but it just went to show me again. You know, I looked at the amount of money that was spent on either side of all the different propositions, and that was overwhelmingly outspent by the insurance companies and medical kind of related companies. But so that was a surprise, and I guess on whole, it's the trend that's disturbing to me. It's the money in politics. It's not even Democrat versus Republican. I think people are way too caught up on which side are you on.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, it almost is a class warfare. You have big money that's controlling our government there, and where we have the separation of powers between the executive and judicial and legislative branches, now those are all basically being bought up, and they're no longer, independent of each other. I think clearly the Supreme Court, I always held up as being, our last check of balances, and with the whole Bush versus Gore and several decisions since then, has made it exceedingly clear that it's no longer a check on balance, and basically the overall strategy is to control all those three branches and spin us all on TV ads, I suppose.
Yeah, lots of money out there for sure. A lot of complaints about that. Chris, thanks. Let's go to Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vince Day.
Good morning, Jeffrey. I'm sort of vacillating between trying to keep you positive. I consider myself a positive person, but then there's the waves of nausea. But I vote. Of course, I vote. I've never missed an election. I think it's an awesome opportunity. I'm so proud of Oregon voters. I'm just amazed at how they can wade through some of the issues, such as all of the different propositions. And I'm so glad that the initiative to really undermine our electoral system and to put a tremendous amount of power into the primaries and then only have two candidates for the general election is just anti-democratic. And the Oregon voters saw through that, and I'm impressed. I find that great solace in that sense of local politics and local intelligence, and that's really important to me. And the national malaise, I mean, if you listen to the last 6 months of reporting, it's all about an ineffective president and a national malaise and what's going on with the world. And you hit the nail on the head. If you ask the average person in this country, they agree generally with sort of centrist progressive politics. That's where they live. That's who we are as Americans. And this minority party that has co-opted particularly national elections is really insidious. And I think we need to explore that more of how that happens.
All right, Ryan, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Dorothy in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vince Day.
Thank you, Jeff. Your program is wonderful.
Thank you.
What I don't understand is why would people vote for the party of no? They've blocked everything for the last 6 years, and why would people vote for Republicans? I just don't understand it. And the Republicans who ran in Oregon had nothing, no plans. They just tried to tear down the other party, the Democrats. They were vicious and mean and hateful, and that's why I, too, am very impressed with Oregon for seeing through that.
All right. Thanks for that, Dorothy. Appreciate it. Let's go to George in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vince Day.
Thanks, Jeff. John Grisham has written books about this so many times, and I think they should be mandated reading, because it has to do with the fact that you have a party whose sole focus is getting more money for themselves, for their donors, and it works out just great. Because we have Joni Ernst, who now who had the Agenda 21, making sure that the United Nations does not take over the United States, that there's no such thing as minimum wage, the Department of Education, the Department of anything that Ted Cruz and Rick Perry wanted to eliminate. They want to eliminate virtually everything, so that they're not having any of their taxes go to undeservings. And they have a scapegoat, well, two of them, Obama and the brown people. So I'm very frustrated, and I don't know what we can do unless we get rid of money.
I wonder how different we'll feel in 2 years, though, because, you know, here again, if you look at the results of the 2008 election, which put President Obama in the White House, and then the 2010 election looked like such a Republican blowout. And then Obama won re-election in 2012, and everybody was thinking, okay, well, this is a different sort of opinion. And then it's another blowout for the Republicans midway through the second term for Obama. Not unusual for a sitting president, as was pointed out earlier, in year six to undergo or endure this sort of thing. But it just makes you wonder if there's a consistent voice here. And the answer is, well, probably not. If you look again at the numbers we were looking at from exit polls, very many fewer young people voted this time and a lot more senior citizens voted this time around. Let's go to Beryl in Springfield. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vince Day.
Oh, hi, Jeff. Yes, I did some campaigning for the yes on 92 because I'm very much opposed to the genetically modified organisms, the whole idea of it. So I got involved in the campaign in the summer, and I made a couple of donations to them and supported them. And then as time got closer and we were getting closer to the election, and they would request for some money, and I gave a little, but I didn't think much about it until I learned. And I heard some other people who are very well informed on national programs saying that the new technique now among the dark money groups and the Karl Rove groups is to swamp ballot measures and candidates with huge amounts of money within 3 weeks of the election, because that doesn't allow the other side time to counter the lies and misinformation that's being put out there. So I've learned from this is to hold back maybe a little bit of my donations and give it in the last 3 weeks, because that's when the big, huge funding is going to come in from the other groups opposing it. So that's really when the campaigns need the extra money. And, of course, that's what happened with the Peter DeFazio. Some big money group came in and gave a huge amount of money to Art Robinson just a week, 2 weeks before the election, figuring that Peter DeFazio wouldn't have time to counter the lies that he was saying. So I hope all the groups in the future will remember that it's those last 3 weeks now that are going to be very vital to raising funds for their measures.
And, of course, when a lot of the money gets spent on ads, as you have pointed out. Thanks for that, Beryl. Appreciate it. I'm going to take the rare step of moving Writer's Almanac just out of the program today, because there are still several people who want to vent on this election Vince Day. We invite you to join us as well, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Tony in Medford. If I can get your button pushed, you're on line six. There we go. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, very popular show today. Happy Guy Fawkes Day. This is the anniversary of the gunpowder plot, in which actually it was a Catholic Protestant thing at the time, but it's really celebrated these days. It's not so much the fact that they found the guy before the Parliament was blown up, but we celebrate it now because we wish that he succeeded. And I think this is appropriate on a day like today. This was a great day. I mean, your people are there. When somebody said about the great Oregon voter, I've heard from the other side of the country people calling up and saying, "What happened to your guys? You know, what happened to the Republicans in your neck of the woods?" And then they look down the sort of the other parts of the voting and they say, "Oh, you know, the first instinct is what are they smoking?" And we provided the answer.
Well, yes, Oregon did legalize marijuana handily, 54.8% to 45.2% was at the latest vote.
This is an out-of-touch little bubble that we're living in. It's beautiful, bucolic splendor. I don't object.
But can you be out of touch and be ahead of your time?
Hmm?
Can you be out of touch and ahead of your time?
The general trend in politics worldwide, if you take a much broader spectrum, is that the left has got it wrong all these years. And that the marvelous advances in the world, you know, reduction of poverty by half, and the number of people on certain salaries much improved by 50% or something like that, is because since 1990, because the world has had a much bigger dose of capitalism, which is the great leveler.
And answers all
problems? Socialist scum left-wing agenda is dying worldwide.
Hmm. Well, I suppose we'll have to see whether the death actually comes. Tony, thanks. Always good to talk to you. Let's go to Tom in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vents Day.
Oh.
Hi, Tom.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I had it on speaker because I was doing something. I thought that the last caller just barely kept. It's very partisan, but okay. So you have a lot of callers have already touched on this, but the last woman caller, she says, I don't understand why people vote Republican. Well, people have to be who they are, and if people are expressing what they truly believe, it comes across as genuine. A lot of Democrats that lost nationally, like Luke Udall, maybe Braley in Iowa, they were trying to be something that they weren't. I mean, they weren't expressing their true feelings and beliefs. They were doing the Democratic time-honored thing of catering to the polls and catering to surveys and things like that.
By doing things like running away from Obama and running away from Obamacare?
Yes. And I know a little bit more of what I speak because I just lost an election myself. But I'm in here in Southern Oregon. So the thing is, you got to be who you are. You got to stand for what you stand for, and be counted or not. And I think, yeah, like you said, a lot of people ran away from. They believe in the tenets that we're talking about, but they wouldn't stand with the man mm-hmm. who stood for those originally. So
be true to yourself is the message here.
Actually, you got it right there, Jeffrey. Right.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vents Day.
Yes, two quick things. One, library thing is always going to fail as long as they call it a library. Remember when you had the lady on that said, people hear the word library, they think of a little old gray-haired lady saying shush, rather than 21st century information center.
Right. Let's get what you're talking about. The library district formation measure failed in
right,
Josephine
yes,
County, where you're
yeah.
calling from, yes.
Yeah, and the other thing is kind of one of those funny little secrets a lot of people don't realize on the driver's license things. We are considered liberal, blah, 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 blah. Profiling is normally considered a kind of a negative. One of the times when you listen to this car was stopped, Latino surname, driving it with 30 pounds of pot or whatever in it, it's because the police are profiling, and they get away with it. Because when they stop and there's no driver's license, they assume they have the right then to search the car. That's one of the things a lot of people don't think about.
Huh. All right. Well, now we're thinking about it. Jim, thanks for that. Let's go to Richard in Glendale. You're on the Jefferson Exchange on Election Vents Day.
Hi. It's great to be on. My theory about my feeling about what took place last night, this landslide, every Republican winning and every Democrat losing. I think it's just association, being associated with our president. And the only reason I think that I can think of is that he's black.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Richard. Not the first person to say it and probably not the last. One thing you do notice is, remember the bumper sticker that says, encourage your hopes, not your fears? You have to look at the pattern of the last few elections and do this by yourself, but to see which elections appear to be ones where there seemed to be a more positive upswelling and look at the ones where there seems to be more of a reaction. And sometimes a reaction to what happened in the previous election, and just see if you can detect that pattern yourself. We'll be talking about the pattern of this election for, probably two more years. And actually, we'll probably start talking about the Hillary Clinton versus Chris Christie or Jeb Bush probably tomorrow. But that's the way things go in American politics. This election, not entirely behind us. Again, Oregon's GMO labeling measure still to be decided and a few other things left undecided. But we have the results, and you have had a chance to vent on them. Thanks for joining us today on Super Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be right back.